Okay, I'm not going to be talking explicitly about addiction because what I'm going to be talking about is, you know, how to stop before you get to addiction. I just want to show you. See? I have it right up here. No conflicts to report. So we're talking about state and local approaches to dealing with tobacco addiction and the results thereof, discouraging tobacco addiction. Until the passage in 2009 of the Family Smoking Prevention and Tobacco Control Act, the word family there can be translated as the good, because we all like families, and so it's the Good Smoking Prevention and Tobacco Control Act. I guess it may have been why it got passed. Until then, nothing much was happening at the federal level. Everything was state and local. And what you had was aggressive taxation, smoke-free policies, and enforcement of minimum sales age requirements. And we made a good deal of progress with these approaches. With the FSPTCA, Tobacco Control Act, we now have jurisdiction for the FDA now has jurisdiction to regulate tobacco products. Thus far, they have done remarkably little to exercise that, but we are all extremely hopeful that that will change. The Act, however, also explicitly empowered or ratified the power of states and their political subdivisions. It twice actually did it. It said a state or a political subdivision of a state, retains the authority to enact, adopt, promulgate, and enforce any law, rule, regulation, or other measure with respect to tobacco products, including a law, rule, regulation, or other measure relating to or prohibiting the sale, distribution, possession, exposure to access or use of any tobacco products by individuals of any age. Why do I go through this in great detail? Because it's going to be highly relevant to the proposal we're going to be talking about here. The authority probably existed for what the proposal we're looking at here before the 2009 Act, but it's unquestionably there now. And the proposal is a proposal for a tobacco-free generation, which is a state and local solution. It could be federal, but that would require new legislation, not likely in my lifetime. Maybe some of you have a better chance of seeing any kind of progressive federal legislation getting passed. This doesn't require federal legislation. That's the beauty of it. In the tobacco control world, and indeed in the world, I guess, of dealing with perhaps, subject of the panel, dealing with addictions, generally, there's a lot of frustration. There's a notion that something should be done. But what can we do? Are there things that can really be done without, and particularly in tobacco control, since the establishment of the authority for the FDA, there's been a lot of, frustration. Why hasn't the FDA moved? That's sort of disempowering for tobacco control advocates because, you can be frustrated, you can send them petitions. It moves away from the area where we've really seen the great progress up till date in the U.S., in tobacco control, which is at the state and local levels, passing legislation that really makes a difference. And while, of course, it would be great to have, federal regulations that make a big difference, and they're certainly possible, the FDA certainly has the power to do it, this is something that can be done by local activists. This is something that where you can really make it happen. And what is the proposal? It's a simple proposal that no one born, in or after the year 2000 can ever be sold tobacco products. This is not a extension of the age limit. There's been a lot of move recently to talk about it, to move up to age from age 18 to age 21. This really goes to a deeper position on this, I think, at least a more radical position. I don't think it's a more difficult position, but it goes to a position of saying, why should these products really ever be sold to anybody? I mean, these are products that, for people who are using the products, who are basically addicted to them, nobody's going to use them for years and years, who hasn't been addicted to them, is not addicted to them. Half of those, we're all going to die of something, and for the smokers, the addicted smokers, half of them will die of their smoking. You know, it'll be 50% of their cause of death, and obviously taking many years off their life expectancy. Most of them will have tried, typically several times, to try to quit using the product. We have interesting study published in 2012 in the American Journal of Public Health on public attitudes regarding banning of cigarettes and regulation of nicotine, and that 43% of the sample, 43% of the sample are in support of banning cigarettes entirely. And this is in a situation in which nobody has been advocating for this publicly. You have a situation where with the public health community basically thinking this is much too radical, we can't possibly suggest this, nobody will take us seriously if we go around suggesting just banning cigarettes, 43% of the American public are in favor of it. Now, actually, the study is actually more interesting. I wish I had it up on a slide, but I just found it today. The sample was a sample of 511 non-smokers and 510 smokers. So this was a sample in 2011, a nationwide sample, a probability sample. This was a sample that was vastly overweighted for smokers, who are, after all, something under 20% at this point of American adults. And this is 50% of smokers. Nonetheless, 43% of them said, just ban the damn things. Okay, well, this idea gets there, but gets there in a subtle, and I think, I can't see why it's not a totally acceptable manner. First of all, nobody, virtually nobody, is going to be forced to quit smoking. Certainly nobody who has been legally sold cigarettes will be forced to quit smoking. We're talking about people who are not 18 yet. This, by the way, this doesn't have to be 2,000. 2,000 is a nice round number. It'll be a long time before we get another nice round number like this. You know, it's very easy to check IDs at the store. If your birth date starts with a 2, you cannot be sold cigarettes. But it doesn't have to. If we miss that deadline, it can be done at some other point. It's a gradual phase out. There's not going to be a drastic reduction of the industry tax revenue, since only a small number of new users, a small part of the revenue each year, are going to be 19-year-olds or 18-year-olds, and that's all they're going to be losing. While it's certainly true that if you do this at a state or local level, you could go to another jurisdiction, possibly far away, possibly not far at all, to get your cigarettes. But if you're not hooked, and the people you grew up with aren't hooked, why are you going to do it? You could do it, but why would you? And it's not prohibition, because all current users, at least all current people who could legally be sold cigarettes, and almost all current users, will continue to have access to the product. So we're not doing what the respondents to this survey say, which is just ban the cigarettes. Or one way of looking at it is, we are banning the cigarettes, but we're grandfathering. And almost all statutory, almost all regulatory changes of any sort involve grandfathering. Because they say, well, look, the people who are already hooked on something, people already doing this, they're not affected. With zoning, if you have a zoning change, well, if you already have something built, you don't have to change it. You're grandfathered in. Same thing here. So it's they're grandfathered, but it will do the job. And again, enforcement simple. The date of birth never changes. Doesn't interfere. By the way, this is in no way, it's not a matter of choosing in the tobacco control world. You don't have to say, well, I do want to do this, or do I want to raise taxes, or do I want to, do something at point of sale or marketing restriction. The answer is do them all. It's all perfectly compatible. Age 21 policies, for example, in New York City, which my colleague Mark Gottlieb, PHA colleague Mark Gottlieb, tells me is going to go to 21 on Thursday, can be a viable stepping stone toward the tobacco-free generation. You know, by then, if you're really not getting cigarettes till you're 21, there shouldn't be a whole heck of a lot of people starting after 21. And it serves to protect youth from tobacco addiction without appearing to burden or punish current users. This is an idea, I wish I could say I thought it up, but it was thought up by John Berrick, who's a math professor in Singapore and a tobacco control activist there. And it's under consideration there, and it's Tasmania. Other people are thinking about it, but it's certainly not going to happen here, certainly not at the federal level, but why not at the local level? The arguments against it, as I said, would be smokers go to adjoining jurisdiction, but they could. The question is, would they? Why would they? We have reasonable success in raising cigarette taxes by jurisdiction. Obviously, they're smuggling, but I think the actual price you pay, there was a study out, I'm not sure who did it, I have a feeling the tobacco industry might have been in there, that said that 50% or more of cigarettes sold in New York City were smuggled. My guess is even the smuggled cigarettes were probably going at a higher rate than in, than the regular cigarettes in most jurisdictions. Most people are not going to travel for their cigarettes, and certainly people who aren't addicted are certainly not going to travel for their cigarettes. Okay. I did an op-ed on this in the Times, which can be found. Have a piece that can be found on our website. Next steps. Okay, we have our website, tobaccofreegeneration.org. This is a website that we have at the Public Health Advocacy Institute with a model ordinance and regulatory documents. We're going to have an endgame conference at Northeastern University School of Law sometime this year. We were hoping for the spring. We might put it off till the fall. We are doing grassroots outreach to active local tobacco control coalitions to try to get them to run with the idea. I guess we'll particularly look to age 21 adopters who've taken the first step, held this off for another 3 years, because they can hit the year 2000. They can wait till it comes up to 2021 to, you know, hit the year 2000 folks. The other folks have to move a little quicker. But the point is to truly end tobacco addiction. That's the idea on this. I guess this marked the slides. I guess he's making the point. This is real. This ain't that hard. We can really do it. It makes sense. So let's get to it. Thanks.